This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The book of Revelation warns us about additional world wars. The earth is on a collision course with much more destruction than many of us have ever imagined. God says, when the seventh trumpet sounds, there will be lightnings, thunderings, earthquakes, and great hail. And then finally, this world will become Jesus Christ's world. What does all this really mean? Stay with us as we attempt to answer this question on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Vance Stinson.
Hello and welcome to the Armor of God telecast. On this program, we discuss many topics, including Bible prophecy. In fact, we have presented many features on Bible prophecy in the past. We have taken a look at Old Testament prophecies. We have looked at prophecies to show how that Jesus Christ fulfilled those prophecies that spoke of the coming Messiah. We have looked at prophecies concerning the end time. We have looked at prophecies in light of world events today. So prophecy is always an interesting topic, always a popular topic on this program. It seems that many people are interested, especially in the book of Revelation. We find in the book of Revelation so many symbolic descriptions there, so many symbols. We find strange beasts being described. We find a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and wearing a crown of 12 stars. We find another woman who rides a mysterious beast. All of these many symbols we find, and we also find a well-developed angelology, it would seem. The angels of heaven are involved in the eschatological judgments that are being poured out on sinning humanity. In a previous program, we discussed the seventh seal described in the book of Revelation. We saw in that program that the seventh seal represents the end time day of the Lord, which will lead directly to the second coming of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. Today I'm going to follow through on the same topic, but looking at a part of what is depicted in the seventh seal. We're going to look more closely at the seventh trumpet, which is a part of the seventh seal. And we're going to see how important the seventh trumpet is, what it signifies, not only in terms of the judgments that will be poured out on sinning humanity at that time, but also what will happen that will bring in a new age for this earth, and what it means to you personally where your salvation is concerned. Now, before we go into this topic today, before we look at the seventh seal, I would like to mention our free offer. We have a brochure entitled The Resurrection, Real Event, or Historical Hoax. And you can get that brochure by simply calling us at 1-888-578-8791. And while you're at it, ask for our free taped sermon, available on tape or by way of CD, entitled, What is the Promise of the Saved? By Bill Watson. Again, that number is 1-888-578-8791. If you use a computer, check us out on the web. That's www.cgi.org. I think you'll find some interesting materials there that will help you in your Bible studies. Now, let's go into this topic of the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelation. I would first like to review some of the material that we've gone through in past times. First of all, in chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, we find that John sees a particular scroll that contains the secrets of the future, from the mysteries, the things that John surely wants to know about. And he discovers that no one in heaven or on earth had the qualifications to open the scroll. But finally, it is revealed that one is qualified. He's described as the Lamb, and of course we recognize him as none other than Jesus Christ. So as Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, begins to strip away the scrolls, or I should say the seals from the scroll one by one, then we recognize here that each seal has prophetic significance. Each seal of the scroll has prophetic significance. Evidently, it symbolizes things contained in the scroll. So as he strips away the seals, the seven seals, we see a picture becoming clearer and clearer of future events. As we discovered in a previous program, the first four seals of those seven represent the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We see false Christs and false prophets coming on the scene. We see wars and rumors of wars. We see famines and death and pestilence following on the heels of famines. All of that is depicted in the first four seals. And even though this is a pattern we see throughout the history of humankind, we're to understand from this that this pattern will intensify in the time of the end. And then if you saw the previous program, the one we did on the seventh seal, then you will recall that we discussed the fact that the fifth seal represents a time when the martyrdom of the saints will once again take place. We know that in previous centuries in the apostolic church, as well as in some of the centuries that followed, that many Christians were martyred because of their faith. This seal here tells us, the fifth seal tells us, that there's coming again a time of the martyrdom of saints, and it will happen during a time of great distress, of great tribulation on the earth. And then we come to the sixth seal. This seal represents cosmic disturbances that will take place in heaven and on earth, and these will serve as a sign to announce the coming of, the soon arrival of, the great day of God's wrath. We read it here in chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand it?" Immediately after this, we see that 144,000 are sealed. In Scripture, we're told that the seal of God is his Holy Spirit. So apparently these 144,000 are converted or transformed internally by means of the Holy Spirit. Also, they're given protection, for you see, in the day of the Lord, it is no longer merely Satan's wrath. It is no longer merely the wrath of man or man's inhumanity to man being carried out. We see God's wrath being poured out on sinning humanity, so obviously God is going to protect his own during that period of time. So the 144,000 and great multitude are described here, and we understand that this sealing that is given to them represents divine protection as well as spiritual conversion. And then we come to the seventh seal. And the seventh seal, as we have discussed in previous programs, represents the day of the Lord, the day of God's wrath. And we discover in chapter 8 that the seventh seal is composed of seven trumpets. So when the seventh seal is stripped away, we discover right away that there are seven angels. And these seven angels will sound the trumpet blast, and each of those trumpet blasts, seven in sequence, will represent events in the end time, events in the course of the unfolding picture of the end time. So the first trumpet blasts, and we see here, and I'm not going to take the time to read each one, but you see here, if you read it in verse 7 of chapter 8, that the vegetation of the earth is struck. And of course, vegetation is very important for the sustenance of life. We see a plague is poured out on the vegetation. And then the second trumpet sounds. And we see that the seas are struck. You know, you do a lot of damage to the seas of this world, and you will invariably and inevitably affect life on planet Earth. The sea is absolutely essential. The oceans of the world are absolutely essential to life on Earth. It's a very important part of our ecosphere, and certainly we depend on it a great deal. And then the third trumpet sounds, and we see that the pure waters, the rivers, the streams, and so forth, of the earth are struck. So our pure water supplies are no longer intact and no longer the pure waters that we would have them to be. And then the fourth trumpet sounds, and we see that the atmosphere of this earth, called the heavens here, is struck. So the atmosphere is struck. You know, we depend on this atmosphere. And you start looking at all of these things. You look at the fact that the vegetation is struck, that the seas are struck, that the pure water supplies are struck. And now finally, the atmosphere, that's man's life support system. So they are adversely affected during this time. And we could say, thankfully, the people of God, the people who put their trust in God, the followers of Jesus Christ, are given some kind of protection at this point. And these are plagues being poured out on the ungodly. But nevertheless, it's frightening when you consider it. All the descriptions of these plagues here. Now, you may think that things look really bad up to this point. But God says right here in chapter 8 in verse 13, or John says, shows what is revealed to him, says, "And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound.'" In other words, you think it's been bad up to this point with those four angels sounding, striking the vegetation of the earth, striking the seas of the earth, the pure water supplies, and finally the atmosphere? Well, now we're facing three great woes. Woe, woe, woe to the planet, or to the planet Earth, because things are about to get a little bit worse. And so the next three angels sound. We see that the fifth angel sounds his trumpet, and the bottomless pit is open, and something described as locusts are coming up out of the bottomless pit. We know, of course, whatever is happening on the world scene at this point, it is being motivated by the forces of evil, satanic forces coming out of the bottomless pit. And then we have the sixth trumpet, and we see the angels of the Euphrates being described here, preparing the way for war. And then we find that finally, after the sixth trumpet sounds, we see down in verse 20 of chapter 9, "But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons in idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk." This tells us, obviously, that the purpose of these plagues is not just punishment for punishment's sake. God is not delighted to punish, to harm, to bring pain to sinners. That's not his purpose here. He is allowing these plagues to be poured out, or he is directing the pouring out of these plagues so that hopefully men will come to repentance. And here we see that many human beings, in spite of these plagues, though they must be getting the message at this point that this is the wrath of God being poured out upon them, still refuse to repent. We continue reading in verse 21, "And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts." Now, going up to chapter 10, and verse 7, this is a very important point here, and one we need to focus on in this program. "But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets." So the seventh angel, the sounding of the trumpet of the seventh angel, is here associated with the finishing, the completion of the mystery of God. So this is very important, very vital information. It has to do with the summing up of everything. It has to do, in fact, with your eventual standing before God. Now we read in chapter 11, and in verse 15 says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" I cannot overemphasize, I cannot overstress the importance of verse 7 of chapter 10 and verse 15 of chapter 11. The mystery of God comes to completion with the sounding of the seventh trumpet. This is the time when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Now then move on over to chapter 15 if you're following in your Bible. And we see in chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, "And then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete." So the seventh trumpet includes the seven last plagues described in this chapter and through chapter 16 as bowl plagues, as each angel takes out a bowl and pours it out upon the world. Then each of those outpourings are considered a plague. For example, the first bowl, when it is poured upon the earth, loathsome sores befall men. The second bowl results in the seas turning to blood. The third bowl, the waters turn to blood. So once again, we see that man's life support system is being affected in an adverse way. And so we see these seven bowl plagues as they, one after the other, as they're being poured out, affecting human life. And of course, once again, the main point here is that God is not merely seeking to bring pain to human beings because He's mad at them. He is seeking to bring human beings to repentance. He's hoping to see them realize the errors of their way and to turn from their sins and to turn to God's means of salvation, which is in and through Jesus Christ, and then they too could be in the kingdom of God. But here again, it seems that so many, in spite of the plagues that are being poured out in the earth, refuse to repent. Now, it is our hope, of course, that many at that time will repent, that they will be saved, that they ultimately will be in the kingdom of God. Now, let's move on over to chapter 19, and I want us to see something else very important that occurs during this time period represented by the seventh trumpet, during the same time that the seven plagues are being poured out. In Revelation chapter 19, the most momentous event in the time of the end, we see here the climax of world history. We see the mystery of God coming to completion in chapter 19, verse 11. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." This reminds us of John chapter 1 and verse 1, which tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we're told later in the same chapter that the Word was made flesh. This is speaking of Jesus Christ, and this is describing the second coming of Christ, which occurs at the time of the seventh trumpet, the seventh and last trump. "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So this is describing very clearly the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then as you read the verses that follow, you see that the beast and his armies are defeated. Christ defeats them. You see also in chapter 20 that the devil is bound, out of sight, taken out of the way completely, thrown into the bottomless pit, a seal is placed upon it. And you see also something else happening. I want to read it to you in chapter 20 and verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads. And they lived, they were made alive, and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This is speaking of a resurrection, as it tells us very clearly down in the next verse. It says, "The rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished." That's the rest of the dead. These were dead. They lived again at the beginning of the thousand-year period. And it says, this is the first resurrection. So here we find depicted in the seventh trumpet many important things. We see the summation, the final plagues being poured out. And in the midst of all of this, we see Jesus Christ as conquering King coming. And we see also the dead being raised. We see the first resurrection being described. Now, with all of this in mind, I want to call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, where the Apostle Paul speaks very plainly about the resurrection and where he uses this expression, the last trump, in an interesting way and in connection with the very thing we're talking about today. Revelation chapter 15, let's start in verse 12. He says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep," that means those who have died, "have perished." Now, does that sound like they have an inherently immortal soul? Does that sound like they went on to a better life? It says here that they perished. You know, many of the Greek philosophers in ancient times believed that the soul was immortal. And when the body died, the soul escaped this prison of the body and actually entered into a better form of existence, a superior form of existence. So their hope was in death. It seems very strange, especially in what the Apostle Paul says, for he says down here in verse 28, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So according to the Bible, death is an enemy. It's not a friend. In death we perish, if not for the sacrifice and redemptive work and the second coming of Jesus Christ. We see here in these passages of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15 that the second coming, when the second coming occurs, the dead in Christ are raised. Let's move on to verse 30. It says, "Why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you that we have in Christ our Lord, I die daily. In the manner of men, I have fought with the beasts of Ephesus. What advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise?" In other words, it's no advantage. All these sacrifices that I'm making are of no advantage if the dead do not rise. It's all in vain. And then he goes on. I'd like to move on over now to verse 50. Paul says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." He's talking about death. We will not all sleep in death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. That tells us we are not inherently incorruptible. And this mortal must put on immortality. The soul is not inherently immortal. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And remember, death is our enemy, according to the Bible. You know, the word immortality is never linked directly with the word soul in Scripture. Rather, the word is linked to the body that we will receive, that God's people receive in the resurrection. And that's something that will not occur until the seventh trumpet sounds. Watch this message. We'll see you again next week. Thank you.
Friends, Vance showed us today and explained that the book of Revelation is constructed in three sets of seven, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven vials. All of these events described in these particular conditions or segments are going to wreak havoc on the earth. They will definitely change the course of history. But in particular, the seventh trumpet, frankly, will be viewed, considering the preceding destruction and death, as a relief when it finally occurs and that trumpet sounds and Jesus Christ comes bursting through the clouds to reclaim this planet. Oh yes, my friends, He's coming back as the King of Kings with His reward in His hands. And that's what makes the seventh trumpet so exciting. And it is an exciting time and an exciting event when one considers the fact that He's coming back to give His rewards to those who have repented and accepted Him as their Savior. Notice what is mentioned here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that substantiates what I just mentioned. Here in verse 16 of that chapter, we read, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Vance mentioned over there in 1 Corinthians 15 that it would be at the last trump that we shall be changed from mortal to immortal. That's when the rewards will be given. What an exciting time. It's not upon your death. You don't have an immortal soul. The reward of the saved will occur when Jesus comes back to reclaim this planet and calls your name from the dust of the earth. And you can read about that in other parts of your Bible. Let us help you to better understand this information. Dial now 888-578-8791. Ask the operator for both of our free offers, the booklet, Resurrection, Real Event, or Historical Hoax, and a one-hour tape presentation titled, What is the Promise of the Saved? Both of these items will better help you to understand the wonderful and glorious truth concerning these teachings. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you to keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
Friends, we would like to invite you to our ongoing public Bible lecture series. On June 21st, Mr. Dwayne Nickel, and on July 19th, Mr. Bronson James will be at the Residence Inn by Marriott, located at 5 Barker Avenue in White Plains, New York. The meeting will begin at 1 p.m. Both men will be discussing present-day issues and their impact on the 21st century Christian. Bring a friend. We'll see you there.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.